Good morning. I want to welcome all of you to the service of worship here at First Presbyterian Church of Birmingham, Everybody's Church, where we serve Christ by cultivating mission, inclusion, and community. Just a reminder, I forgot to remind people in my Wednesday update this week that today, being the first Sunday of the month, is Communion Sunday. So if at home you don't have your communion elements ready, take a few minutes while I'm doing the announcements. Go out, get your communion elements ready, and be prepared to partake with all of us. Also, that means it's Loose Change Sunday. Any loose change that you all have, please just feel free to put it in a Ziploc bag and drop it in the mail slot in the front of the church. That goes to the Deacons Fund, which helps people with immediate needs of food, clothing, and shelter. Easter is on the way. And so we are taking money for Easter flowers. Won't have as many as usual, but we will have Easter flowers. So if you'd like to contribute, you can do that online. And speaking of things growing, Cindy Merton has put together Resurrection Gardens. They're these wonderful things sort of in a pot. I'm not even sure what you'd call it. What do they sit in? It's a clay pot that you grow a garden in, and it's preparation for Easter. They are out in the bin outside the Eagle entrance, so feel free to come and grab one anytime during the week and start your resurrection garden. A week from today, the 14th, is packing for baskets of love. You can sign up to do that on the website as well. The flower today is in honor of the birth of Layla Addison Fernander, daughter of Candace and Lowell Fernander. And so we want to celebrate with them another child born into the life of Christ Church Universal. Finally, want to welcome Laura Alami back with us as our vocalist. So now with those announcements made, let us prepare our hearts to worship God.
Let us join together and call ourselves into worship. The heavens are telling the glory of God. The skies show God's craftsmanship. Day pours forth speech, and even the night knows of God's greatness. God's ways are more to be desired than gold, because God's ways make the heart glad. Let us worship God.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Those words were said every Sunday as I was growing up, just before the sermon, and are from Psalm 19. In many churches throughout the world, psalms are sung, prayed, and read every single Sunday. A long time ago in this church, we used to sing a psalm every Sunday. The psalms are a wonderful prayer book, teaching us that we can come to God with all of our highs and our lows, our joys and concerns. The psalms were the prayer book of Jesus, and frequently he quoted them, especially in Psalms 21 through 24. They teach us a language of prayer that is down to earth and inspires us. They're often sung, read, illustrated, interpreted with movement. There are so many different ways to pray the Psalms. So this week, I invite you to make the Psalms your prayer book. Read them in the first person, inserting your name or the names of others. Help your children express what a Psalm means to them by drawing a picture or taking a photo. And this isn't just for children. I know many of you already take photos and post them on social media. Many beautiful sunsets and rainbows and all kinds of beautiful things have been posted. Here are some starter verses to illustrate, but you could choose any other verses you prefer. The heavens are telling the glory of God. Give thanks to the Lord, from Psalm 106. Praise the Lord, all you nations, from Psalm 117. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth, Psalm 100. Or, I lift up my eyes to the hills, where does my help come from? Psalm 121. If art is not your thing, try writing your own psalm using these same verses or others as a starter. You can add movement to any psalm, but Psalm 9, 1 and 2, you can pray with your whole body. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will tell of your wonderful deeds. Sing the psalms or listen to someone else singing them. You can find many on YouTube, anthems and songs that are psalms. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. This is the day the Lord has made. Come into God's presence singing Alleluia, and many others. Whether you draw, sing, or move, or read the psalms, may the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in God's sight.
When we remember all the mistakes that we've made, all the careless words we've spoken, all the contempt that we have given to those around us, we have trouble looking God in the eye. But God gazes at us with mercy and love, waiting to forgive us, even as we hesitate to speak of the brokenness of our hearts. Let us join together in the words of the prayer of confession. Forgive us, God, for forgetting that life is more than what we possess, for pretending that there are things that we bring us absolute happiness. Open our eyes to your love that is most precious than jewels and is offered without a price. Allow us to take hold of that gift and allow us to bring us joy. In Jesus' name. Amen. This is the good news. God intends for us to find life, to embrace hope, to receive forgiveness through Jesus Christ. The end of our journey is not rejection and emptiness, but the fullness of grace and hope in our God. Thanks be to God, we are forgiven. For the prayer of illumination, we join together in inviting the Holy Spirit among us to open our hearts to what we will hear today. The Lord be with you. Guide us, O God, by your word and spirit, that in your light we may see light, in your truth find wisdom, and in your will find peace. In Jesus' name, amen. The First Testament lesson comes from Ecclesiastes. We are in chapter 3, and I'm going to read verses 9 through 15. What gain have the workers from their toil? I have seen the business that God has given to everybody to be busy with. He has made everything suitable for its time. Moreover, he has put a sense of past and future into their minds, yet they cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. I know that there is nothing better for them than to be happy and enjoy themselves as long as they live. Moreover, it is God's gift that all should eat and drink and take pleasure in their toil. I know that whatever God does endures forever, nothing that can be added to it nor anything taken from it. God has done this so that all should stand in awe before him. That which is already has been, that which is to be already is, and God seeks out what has gone by. The word of the Lord.
Thank you, Laura. We turn our attention now to this week's parable out of the Gospel of Luke as we journey toward the cross. We're in chapter 12, looking at verses 13 through 21. Let us listen for the word of the Lord. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But Jesus said to him, "Friend, who set me to be the judge or arbiter over you?" And Jesus said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, For one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves but are not rich toward God." The word of the Lord. So I want to begin with a confession this morning. I have never liked this parable. And I've never particularly liked it because it seems to be the antithesis of so many things that I was taught in a good Protestant household growing up. I was taught you're supposed to work hard. You're supposed to save. You're supposed to plan for the future. Any of you taught those things growing up? Right. And so here it is. It seems as if this man has done all of those things, and yet when he finally sort of has his bank account big enough, God just says, "You fool, guess what? Your life's over. It's all done." That's the first reason I don't like this parable. The second reason is one day I will end up retiring, and I would like to be able to say, "Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry." Any of you want to retire with that? I know some of you already are. Right? So it's as if somehow this is not appropriate with Jesus as he tells this parable. But actually, well, before we talk about the parable, I want to sort of step aside and talk about this idea of contentment, which is what this man was after. He was after that sense of contentment where he could lay back, relax, eat, drink, be merry. And I think most of us, in one way or another, would love to be contented, to find a sense of contentment in life. Within Christianity and most religions, as well as in the secular world, there are two basic theories of how one finds contentment. The first is accumulation. The second is renunciation. Accumulation, renunciation. So, contentment, for many people, they say, well, where it's found is in accumulation. And accumulation being accumulating whatever it is that makes you happy. It could be accumulating money. It could be accumulating cars. I think about Jay Leno and his garage with all of his cars and motorcycles. It could be friends. It could be any number of things. But the idea is that once one finally has, like the guy in this story, you finally have big enough barns filled with enough stuff that you have accumulated enough, and then you can find contentment. Okay? And I think most of us are somewhat familiar with accumulation. I think we are, in fact, so much that if you drive down the road, you'll see all of these storage shed places where we have to put our extra stuff that we don't have place to put it in our own homes. So that's the first way, accumulation. The second is renunciation. And this might not be quite as familiar. What renunciation is it says one finds contentment by giving up things. Okay. This is really at the heart of Buddhism and certain strains of Christianity. It is living this life of absolute simplicity. The belief being that the desire to accumulate things actually brings pain, jealousy, anger, sadness because we don't have enough, or we don't have enough of the right stuff, or we haven't accumulated enough, or we haven't built enough big barns, or we haven't done all of these things. And so, to find contentment, what one does is one renounces things. One gives up things, even the desire for things. And that in that, one finds contentment. And what it seems, at least on the surface, in this story that Jesus tells, this parable, that what he seems to be saying is where one finds contentment is in renunciation. Be on guard against all kind of greed, for one's life doesn't consist in the abundance of possessions. But what I want to argue this morning is that's not actually what Jesus is doing. That in fact, Jesus isn't arguing for either accumulation or renunciation as the place to find contentment. Now, I argue that for two reasons. The first is that Jesus is a good Jew. And as a good Jew, especially a Jew in this time and period, this what's called the Second Temple period, he understands that the promise made to Abraham, Abraham was made some promises by God of land, seed meaning offspring, and blessing. Okay? And this promise of blessing was not just spiritual blessing, but it was material blessing. That in the Bible, to be blessed, especially in the Old Testament, is to be able to sit under your own vine and fig tree. It is to have ample goods to eat and drink. And it is, as the writer of Ecclesiastes says, to enjoy life, to eat, drink, to be merry. That this is what God wants of us. And so I don't think Jesus is abandoning that sort of essential tenet of Judaism. The second reason I don't believe Jesus is pushing for renunciation is this really cryptic verse 21, the last verse after he finishes the parable. And this is a verse that has confused me for years. I'm going to read it again to you. So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves but are not rich toward God. Any of you feel like you really get that? If you do, see me later and tell me, because for a long time I didn't understand it. So this week I went back in to the Greek text, and I was fascinated because the word they translate as toward, rich toward God. That's what I didn't understand. What does it mean to be rich toward God? The word in Greek is actually in. And so I think a better translation is, so it is with those who store up treasures for themselves but are not rich in God. Because to be rich in God, what that means is to be literally, deeply, and profoundly connected with God. It's as if God dwells in us and we dwell in God. Because when we dwell in God, something happens to us. And the way I like to think about this is the Apostle Paul talks about the fruits of the Spirit. That when we are in Christ, is Paul's language, in Christ, what we receive through the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, and self-control. When we are in Christ, we receive love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, self-control. Something happens to us when we are in God, when we are in Christ. And so what that means in this story is you think about this guy. He spent his whole life not really being contented, not thinking he could relax and enjoy the goodness of God. It's only when he finally got what he thought was enough stuff that he could finally enjoy what God had given him. But if we understand that all of us have the ability to be in God, in Christ, and to be filled with love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, self-control. What that means is we don't have to wait for contentment until we have the biggest barns. We don't have to wait to find contentment until we think we have everything that we need. See, this guy, if he had been rich in God, he could have found contentment at every planting and every harvesting. He could have found contentment with smaller barns rather than waiting for bigger ones. And it means that each of us, if we allow ourselves to be in Christ, in God, we can find that contentment regardless of our age, what our job title is, what we've accomplished in this world, what our grades are, what our extracurricular activities are, how much we have in the bank. We don't have to have bigger barns to find contentment if we are rich in God. And the gift we're given this morning is that we get to act out being in God. What I'm going to ask you all to do, and I'm going to go down here, the communion. I want, for those of you who are here in the building, if you would pick up your communion elements, and if you're at home, do the same thing. Just sort of hold your communion elements. And I want you to look at them for a minute. And I don't want you to see bread and cup. I want you to see love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, and self-control. I want you to see in these elements the very gift and presence of God in Jesus Christ. See, because we get to hold these mysterious elements and realize that when we partake of them, it's a reminder that we are in Christ. We are in God. And that contentment really can be ours. And so my challenge to you this morning, as you partake of these elements, to feel yourself taking in the love of God in Jesus Christ. And then throughout this week, continue to simply ask yourselves, how am I being in God, in Christ, and finding that amazing contentment that can bring? Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, thank you that you have promised to be in us and around us, before us and behind us and beside us. Help us to experience the contentment that being loved by you can bring, and help us to share that with all we meet. In Christ's name, amen.
Friends, this is the joyful feast of the people of God. They will come from east and west, from north and south, to sit at the table in the kingdom of God. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at the table with his disciples, he took the bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. And then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. This is the Lord's table. Our Savior invites those who trust him to share the feast which he has prepared. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Why do we give thanks and praise before this table? Let us pray. It is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise, O Lord, our God, creator and ruler of the universe. In your wisdom, you made all things and sustained them by your power. You formed us in your image, setting us into the world to love and to serve you and to live in peace with your whole creation. When we rebelled against you, refusing to trust and obey you, you did not reject us, but still claimed us as your own. You sent prophets to call us back to your way, and then in the fullness of time, out of your great love for the world, you sent your only Son to be one of us, to redeem us and heal our brokenness. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with choirs of angels, with prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and with all the faithful in every time and place who forever sing to the glory of your name. Let us continue in prayer. You are holy, O God of majesty, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. In Jesus, born of Mary, your word became flesh and dwelt among us full of grace and truth. He lived as one of us, knowing joy and sorrow. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, broke bread with outcasts and sinners, and proclaimed the good news of your kingdom to the poor and needy. Dying on the cross, he gave himself for the life of the world. Rising from the grave, he won for us victory over death, and seated at your hand, he leads us to eternal life. We praise you that Christ now reigns with you in glory and will come again to make all things new. Amen. Why do we eat bread at this table? On the night before he died, Jesus took bread. After giving thanks, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." We also break the bread, and following in Jesus' example, we do not reject anyone from this table and offer to all who trust in God. Why do we drink from the cup at this table? On the same night, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant, sealed in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." And it is remembering what Jesus did on that night and in the days to come that we pour our cup of salvation. What do we remember at this table? We remember God's gracious love for us, Christ's death and resurrection for us, and the Spirit's tender care for us. And let us proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Let us pray. Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, upon these gifts of bread and cup, and that the bread that we break wherever we are and the cup that we bless from every corner of the world may be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, that we may be one with all who share this feast, united in ministry in every place. As this bread is Christ's body for us, send us out to be the body of Christ in the world. Remember your church, unite it in the truth of your word, and empower it in ministry to the world. Remember the world of nations. By your Spirit, renew the face of the earth, and let justice and peace prevail. Remember our family and friends, bless them and watch over them. Be gracious to them and give them peace. Rejoicing in the communion of the saints, we remember with thanksgiving all those faithful servants, and we are grateful that for them death is no more. And in union with your church in heaven and on earth, we pray, O God, that you will fulfill your eternal purpose in us and in the world. Keep us faithful in your service until Christ comes in final victory, and we shall feast with all your saints in the joy of your eternal realm. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor are yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. And hear us as we pray together with the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. It is in memory of Jesus' sacrifice, it is with the contentment that we are forgiven now, that we take a bite of the bread of heaven. And with the full confidence in the salvation that Jesus poured out for us, we drink from the cup of salvation. Let us pray. Lord God, in deep gratitude for this moment, this meal, these people, we give ourselves to you. Take us out to live as changed people because we have shared the living bread and cannot remain the same. Ask much of us, expect much from us, enable much by us, and encourage many through us. So, Lord, may we live to your glory both as inhabitants of earth and citizens of the commonwealth of heaven. Amen.
Before the benediction, reminder, next Sunday is daylight savings time, so we will be springing forward. Also, for those of you at home, I'm thrilled to have all of you here in worship this morning in the sanctuary. But we still had openings this Sunday, so just know that there are more openings than we've had people, and so especially those of you who've been vaccinated, we encourage you to come and join us here in the sanctuary. And now please stand for the benediction. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in the knowledge and love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And may the grace, mercy, and peace of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be and abide with each and every one of you from this moment forward and forevermore. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you.